This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Wait, who am I? Why am I here? Okay. So, last time, a bunch of kids got sucked into a book for their own good. And we're going to stay there for a little while until they learn to love reading. So, hold on. Let me just make sure. Yep. And I have my wig all set and I'm ready to go.
Hello, friends in an alternate future. Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use the game Monster of the Week to tell a story of matronly marionettes and historical hijinks in the real and actual 2007. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries, and we're going to pick up where we left off last episode with special guest Aaron Keefe playing Dorothea Dewey, a mystery public library employee with a loose wig, a love of books, and the willingness to transport people against their will into books in order to share that love. Before we continue, though, we of course need to hear from this week's Mystery County sponsor, Aaron Rain. Who do we have this week?
These are wipes, all wipes. So it's wipes, comma, all wipes.
Wipes, all wipes.
Wipe out!
Oh! I wiped and there's dirt all over my knees!
Well,
hey,
guess
kid.
What?
Hey, two people talking to me at once? That's new. What's up?
Sorry, we're brothers and we started a business together.
Yeah, guess what? We've got a wipe for that wipeout.
You got a wipe for my wipeout, but I got dirt stains all over my khaki pants.
Talk to my brother.
Oh, which one?
Me. Just to be clear, I had the business idea. I put the money up front, and it's my whole thing. He just came up with a name.
I'm sorry. I assumed that he was the one with all the ideas.
No, I'm just the face of the business. Wow. He's the idea guy, the money guy, and all the other stuff guy.
Wow. But people hate me, and they love him.
Hey, get out of my way, Poindexter.
Oh. Dang, they just knocked you over. It looks like you need one of these, too.
Must be a day that ends in Y.
Wipe out!
I'm getting married in 10.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here. And more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Stuck inside a Danielle Steele novel, C.E.J. reaches for any other book that he can find, and Crashly reaches for C.E.J. Crashly, go ahead and roll to act under pressure. So okay. Roll plus cool. Okay. We'll see what happens.
I got a 7.
A 7. So you have a worse outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay. You can go with him, but that's it. You can't keep him there.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay,
I'll go
great.
Yeah.
You find yourself in a different chapter in the book.
Oh, no.
Ruh-roh.
So you're going to find yourself in a different chapter in Admiral James Stockdale's autobiography.
Stockdale on Stoicism.
What's it called?
That's what it's called?
The Stoic Warrior's Triad.
Oh, wow. Hell yeah.
Triad.
Wow.
Juicy.
And I think before we cut away, right as we cut away, the cat burglar and the like lady, femme fatale, notice that Dorothea is watching them. And it starts to accelerate the romantic tension.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
wait, definitely. Also, I'm just reading about James Stockdale. His name is James Bond Jim Stockdale.
Yeah, his name is James Bond Stockdale.
No,
no way.
Not, wow. And his dad's name is Vernon Beard.
Wow.
What are we even doing?
Spies.
What is
James Bond Stockdale? Wow. What a weird guy.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
Jeff, will you set the scene for us? Where does C.E.J. find himself in the autobiography of Jim Stockdale?
He finds himself at the U.S. Naval Academy in 1947. They're about to graduate, but these guys are getting up to some funny business.
Great. Aaron Keefe, what prank are the graduating class of the U.S. Naval Academy in the midst of doing right now?
So it's like the 80s? 70s? 70s? 80s?
It's the 40s.
40s?
It's 1947,
okay. Oh, 20s,
yeah.
Young. Okay, yes, okay. what are they doing? They are bees.
Yep.
They're releasing bees.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Here's an important question. Inside or outside?
Outside.
They still haven't really refined pranks yet at this point.
Yeah.
So they're just outside releasing bees.
Yeah, pranks are new. This is actually, you're joking, but this is the first prank ever. Pranks were invented in the 40s because we had just won the war and people can now sort of start to joke. So now people can prank.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the first American prank. Yeah, so Jeff, who does C.E.J., describe a little bit more what C.E.J. finds himself doing or in the, whose body he's in.
Here's the thing. CEJ's one of the bees.
Oh my God.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Great. Is Crashly a bee too?
Oh, you're in a different chapter.
No, you're in a different chapter.
You're in a different chapter. Yeah.
That's right.
But here's the thing. I'm going to make you a flower. It's going to get weird.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I was for sure that you were going to make Crashly like a Viet Cong.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why I thought that's where that was going.
Yeah, because that's the fun
they
choice.
Did not. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to do the classic fun one.
Are Susan and Dorothea still in the...
In the Danielle Steele book, yes.
Yeah. Great.
Yes. Standing there watching.
Yeah, you're both just watching this very sexy engagement between this cat burglar and...
It's a little vanilla.
Yeah,
but they keep making eyes and doing like the beckoning finger at Dorothea.
Yeah, exactly. While Susan keeps giving editorial commentary on the quality of the writing. CEJ, you're a bee. I guess this is a little like the 1950s movie of The Fly of you find yourself trapped in a bee body. Nothing makes sense. Everything, it's looking through a kaleidoscope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my like compound eyes.
Yeah, you have two compound eyes, an overriding desire to help the hive and make honey. It's night. Well, I guess actually, Aaron Keefe, are they doing this prank at night or are they just releasing bees during the day?
I'm tempted to say day. I'm doing all the worst improv choices. It's not even a prank anymore if I say day.
No, I said go with your gut.
I guess.
I think that's so funny. Yeah, it's just the prank is just during the day. They're just releasing bees into the air.
Is it? Wait, so this is during the graduation ceremony? Or is this like...
No.
Yes. Oh, no, this is just a regular day?
Oh, okay. That was my thought. But yes, it makes more sense if they're just releasing bees during a graduation ceremony. That's
bees?
More an actual prank. I thought you were just saying they're just releasing bees on like a Tuesday.
That's just like them setting some bees free. Like that's like a lot of
right, right. Yes.
They're heroes.
This is canonically, because CEJ becomes a movie reviewer later in life, this is like the mysterious reviewer vote that pushes B movie over the threshold of fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Because you're like...
I just have like flashbacks.
Yeah, actually, it's too close to story. So rather than telling us this what happens here, Alan. Will you just give us a brief excerpt from CEJ's future review of the B-movie movie?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's a perspective not often considered. The creatures we rely upon to pollinate our foods, to make our crops grow, to make our flowers bloom. And how do we treat them?
I'm dying.
As stingy little cluster of potentially prank fodder. Well, not anymore. Thanks to a brilliant and informed performance by one Jerry Seinfeld, this reviewer has no choice but to give B-movie an A+.
Ooh. Excellent.
Very good.
We'll cut over. Crashly, you find yourself in James Stockdale's autobiography, but it's a different chapter. Jeff, what chapter of James Stockdale's life does Crashly find herself in?
Okay. She is going to be in, I think he is, let's throw him in Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Great.
We're going to visit Vietnam.
So I am Viet Cong.
No. I really love the idea that in a couple of weeks, someone at Google is going to be like, damn, we've got tens of hits for James Stockdale.
Yeah, great. Okay, great. Crashly, you find yourself. Man, yeah, it's like, oh, cool. We'll do the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
No.
Crashly, you find yourself. You're excited. It's the first week of the Vietnam War.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
You're just.
So it's like 1965 or something?
Yeah, you're just hitting the ground. You're a young fighter pilot ready to show himself, show what he's made of.
How come everyone gets to be James Stockdale but me?
Well, you are the one who made it be the autobiography of Ross Perot and then put him in the body of James Stockdale.
Okay, yeah,
that's true. Yeah, oh, I wasn't trying to be James Stockdale.
You could call that a consequence.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah,
I was pissed that everyone else gets to be James Stockdale.
Oh, man. Oh, brother.
I set up this elaborate long walk to get to be James Stockdale, and it passed me right by.
You get so to sorry. Be a bee.
Okay. Claire.
Yes.
Will you set up for us a non-sad Vietnam circumstance that Crashly finds herself in?
Absolutely. She's going into town on a mission to get just some supplies.
I love it.
Just your ordinary supply run. You know, we're looking for playing cards. Something I remember is M&Ms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so Crashly, you find yourself doing that. And as you're driving into town to get stuff, one of the other enlisted men with you leans over and he's like, hey, Stockdale.
Yeah, what's up?
You want to do a prank?
Anytime.
Do you?
Anytime.
Because I got some bees right here.
I can't believe you said that, because releasing bees is my favorite prank. I was stung over 14 times.
What?
The last time bees were released on me, I was.
Did you release them inside?
What I love about this is everybody else has entered the bodies of the things and had their own memories and stuff. So what we're establishing is that Crashly has previously done bee pranks.
But for all we know, because Crashly has a long history of like... different bodies and like
past lives and stuff.
I used to be John Stockdale.
That's true. Oh my gosh! Yeah, life is James Stockdale.
Yeah, I used to be. Is it James? I kept thinking
it
was
John.
James Bond Stockdale.
James Bond Stockdale. Sorry, duh. Yeah,
who died in 2005 in our timeline?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Oh so Crashly, you are just reliving.
Wow.
A memory from one of.
Wait, he died in 2005.
Yeah. That's
wasn't Crashly alive
in our timeline? Yeah, in our timeline, in 2005.
He didn't have. Yeah, he had.
There's another
less...
timeline where he didn't live past.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Actually, and Janice died before he died. Listen, Crashly's been jumping. Yeah, it's called Quantum Leap. Look it up. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so Crashly, I guess for whatever reason, you're able to access the memories of this a little bit more easily than the others are. So you're talking bees.
Or maybe I was just making that up.
You should use these bees. This is the world's oldest bee. I captured it in 1947.
What? That's amazing. Wow.
Crashly.
What? Does that mean?
Crashly.
Oh my God.
It's me, B-E-J.
That bee is my boyfriend. And you can't tell anybody because that's not going to go over well. But I'm telling you one thing right now. I'm in love with that bee. That bee is my boyfriend.
CJ, what has it been like being a bee for the last 20 years?
Honestly, euphoric. I've been feeling lost and directionless in my real life, having been rejected from college and like feeling alone and being left in the year whatever in Constantinople for all that time. Yeah. And as a bee, all I had to do was whatever the queen told me to do.
Oh my God.
And I got to just like coast and like live. You know what I mean? Like I was really living.
Are you going by BEJ now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm BEJ.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I'm discovering a calling for, I'm going to be like in, what is it?
An apiarist?
Apiarist?
Apiarist? Yeah.
When
not
I get
to
back.
Steal your bee movie review, but this is a refreshing new perspective, is to hear from what it's like to be a bee.
Yeah. It's really nice.
It's just a union of one with nature and one with many, you know?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It's just all community.
It's so beautiful.
It's literally everything I felt like I was missing from my life.
Damn, yeah. I usually don't like the character CEJ, but I love BEJ.
Yeah. And so we're going to cut back over to Susan and Dorothea. You're there. Dorothea, the cat burglar, and the woman at the window. They are very aggressively, I guess, to put no fine sheen on it. They are just eye-fucking you hard as they're watching and inviting you in. Susan, you realize that the kids are stuck in these other books. What are you doing in this moment?
I think since she's a little bit distracted.
Yeah, she's eating potpourri like it's popcorn while she's staring at the
just crunchy old flowers.
Is Dorothea sort of doing the like bob and grab like with her just like pecking at it?
For sure. Yeah. It's like a lot of it's missing her mouth because she's so entranced by them.
Wait, and by missing her mouth, do you mean getting pushed under the wig?
Yeah, because pigeons hypothetically get hungry too for potpourri.
Well, you say hungry too for potpourri, but humans don't.
Not typically. If you come over to my house and it smells like freshly cooked potpourri, I need you to mind your business, is all I'm saying.
Freshly cooked?
I think what I want to do is, my first idea was to knock the pigeon out, but then I'm like not sure how to get the kids back. So I think I almost want to like deal with the feels or manipulate Dorothea.
Okay.
Maybe deal with the feel.
Okay. Yeah. I think that makes sense. What are you saying to Dorothea as you try to connect? You're trying to connect with her to, you know, really establish a real intimate and valid connection. What are you saying?
Well, I first want to meet her where she's at because she is loving this scene.
Absolutely.
So I want to be like, hot, right? Super. This is super sexy. What's going on with you? Are you okay? Let me try that again. You know, sometimes when you're feeling sexy,
I'm listening.
It's just a cover for like another feeling. What's under all that sexy, Dodo?
Huh?
What's under here? Huh? And I'm just like wiggling one of her cardigan lapels.
A pigeon.
I saw that at the library, but I didn't want to call attention to it.
We just want people to read.
I know you do.
It can be lonely at the library.
Oh, I know it. We all do. We all want the kids to read. I'm always asking them to join my book club.
Right? And do they?
Okay, well, Crashly's come a couple times, and one time CEJ came, but I think it was an accident. But let me tell you that. These are good kids, and I'm not sure locking them in war hero biographies is going to make them readers. I think what would make them readers is maybe we all go back to the library, get a card.
Okay, I'll bring you back, but everyone has to promise to get a library card and come in at least once a year.
We will.
And just to see what fully happens here, Claire, go ahead and roll plus weird.
I had her, Tyler.
I know, but we got to follow the rules here.
No, Tyler. Oh, you know what? I did follow the rules, and it's a 10.
Great.
I really regret trying to sing on this podcast, so could you edit that out and just put, it's a 10.
Absolutely not. It sounded fantastic. Aaron, Dorothea, you feel like a genuine connection in this moment. It really feels like Susan sees you where you're at and is working with you on this. So, she proposes that, and you counter with the, as long as everybody agrees to sign up for a library card, and Susan agrees. How do you feel in this moment?
A little apprehensive, but a little hopeful, and a little horny, and a little hungry, because I'm missing a lot of the potpourri.
Yeah, right. And I have to ask, how much of that is what Dorothea is feeling, and how much of that is what the pigeon is feeling?
Ooh, 80-20.
Okay, great. What is the pigeon feeling?
Horny first.
Yeah.
And the pigeon, like, Dorothea is very sweet and obviously malleable and vulnerable, and the pigeon's has a little bit more of an edge to it.
Oh.
So, like, the pigeon could be back if they don't come to the library. Like, the pigeon's serious.
Interesting. Mm. Okay, cool. Yeah. And Claire, Susan is getting that vibe. Like, you don't want to fuck around with this pigeon.
I have a healthy respect and fear of birds. And I shan't be doing anything wrong. Yeah, that is a Susan Wexler promise.
I can just, all I'll say is when birds get organized, watch out.
Did you when say birds owl, decide to I'll start working.
Oh, and Dorothea almost dies from laughing so hard at that joke.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I heroined you right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Susan, be careful. She may die and you'll be stuck in here.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Dorothea, will you roll and act under pressure again? I just want to see if your wig stays on.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll give it a nest.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Claire, you have to stop.
She's going to roll at disadvantage.
It's not safe.
So Aaron, Keith, give us a roll plus weird. 2d6 plus weird.
Yes, let's see. Up, 3 plus 2.
Okay, so that's an 8. That means, let's see, worst outcome, hard choice, or price to pay. You can, you don't die. You manage to hold on, but your wig does fall completely off. The pigeon is fully exposed.
The pigeon, like, covers up its chest and its, like, crotch. <'cause
it'll laughs> make it under. So it pulls the wig up over its chest.
But is there any indication of how this works? I'm just curious, mostly as me, Alan. Are there levers? Is it, like, pulling the hair underneath? Like, how is this?
Oh, yeah. Is it just whispering?
Oh, yeah. How's the pigeon operating, Dorothea?
Is it sitting? Is, like, the skull open and it's, like, sitting where the brain should be?
Oh,
like,
God.
A nest?
Oh, my Lord.
Bird brain.
Mm. Bird brain. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. It's sort of like a bike. Like, there's, like, a little, like, contraption, like a Rube Goldberg machine that's connected to her brain that the pigeon has to ride all the time.
Incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
So you see just a little pigeon just riding this little bike-esque contraption, holding the wig up to cover its bosom. does the pigeon talk?
The pigeon, which one is from Wallace and Gromit doesn't talk?
Grommet.
That's a good question.
Yeah, grommet. Yeah, grommet is like, yeah. So the pigeon's like expressive, like grommet. Like sort of just makes very expressive faces.
And she's Wallace.
And Susan does respect this and appreciates this, but it is kind of taken away from the shine of her getting an inch cut off of her hair.
Yes.
But she's happy. She's happy for the bird. And Dodo. Good.
And I think with all of that, then Dorothea, or really the pigeon driving Dorothea, this deal having been struck, I think you are probably pretty willing to pull the magic back to pull these plot holes or pull the kids out of these plot holes that you've introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we do magic and stuff is usually there is like a there's like some weird ingredients that you need for the spell. And usually there is like a little saying that you have to make, either rhyming or not. So how does your spell look to sew up these plot holes?
So the pigeon has to sort of like almost like pull back the wheels that it's been turning to sort of like pull everyone out. And it definitely hurts. It hurts really bad.
Not the pigeon though. Does it hurt the pigeon?
No, not the pigeon. The pigeon feels Dorothy. Literally nothing. It hurts Dorothy to have this happen. And it's going to hurt the kids. It feels like being pulled out of something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's like being born.
Yeah, it's like being born.
Or having like a splinter pulled out if you were the splinter.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But the spell sort of what the pigeon is making Dorothea say is like she has to tell the story of what happened and have it end with them getting back to.
I love it.
And can you give us the ending of the story?
Yes. And the kids got violently pulled out of the story of James Stockdale and all his friends, bees included. And they ended up back at the library, where they begrudgingly signed up for library cards and agreed to never rip an old lady's wig off ever again. They tried potpourri. They loved it. And they come into the library at least once a year just to make sure Dorothea isn't dead. And they all live happily ever after.
And with that, you're all, Adam, as you're standing on the debate stage.
Let me explain myself.
You get pulled out. It hurts so much as you get pulled out. And James Stockdale gets ripped to shreds on SNL. Crashly, you are pulled out from your prank in Vietnam, having seen nothing too terrible in your small time there. CEJ or BEJ.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of vibrating my body to try to overheat a wasp to protect my nest.
Yeah, and to be EJ, all of the other bees are just vibrating with you in sync. There's no need for language or anything. It's just perfect connection. And as you're in that, you just feel yourself getting pulled back into humanness.
No!
And you all find yourself eating potpourri in the library with library cards in your hands.
Oh, hey, this is pretty good. What is this called?
Keep eating. It's delicious.
See, EJ, did you see I came with you? Did you see I held your hand? And like, I don't know if you know, but like Acorn did not do that when you came back from Turkey. So
that's true. And I really appreciate it. And I just want to add that Dorothea, these books have changed my life.
Yeah. Me too. Can we do a trip to Annapolis, Maryland? I want to see the gravesite of James Bond Stockdale.
Oh, I was him.
What? Me too.
Oh my God. No, but I mean for real.
No, I was for real him in the book too. It was like I was there.
Yeah, but I mean like I was him before. Okay. You know how I'm like weird?
Wait, don't you guys know what this library is called?
What?
It's the Mystery County James Bond Stockdale Public Library.
Oh, and that statue up front that says the name is Bond. James Bond Stockdale.
Yeah,
oh
that's
my gosh.
Him.
I never.
That's
made
why
attention.
It's shaped like a plane.
Oh, the library or the statue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the library. The library is shaped like a plane. The statue is shaped like a library.
Wow,
this is so cool.
You know, Dorothea, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about this move. When you started sucking the kids into books, I thought, oh, no. But I got to tell you, I guess you were right. We got some readers on our hands.
Well, I got to thank you, Susan, because your book inspired the whole thing. I loved it so much. I thought, I want to be in this book.
I got you something.
No.
Where?
What is
when?
It?
When did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So curious.
During that Daniel Steele scene, I cannot stand her writing.
Who is Daniel Steele?
So during the scene, I love, during the scene, Susan left the house and drove
to town. To the general store.
While the rest of us were all fighting for our lives.
Yeah.
You all had it. And I wrote a new excerpt, a Monster Girth. It's a bonus chapter. Starring someone very sexy.
No.
It's you.
She wore multiple cardigans. Oh, my God. And Dorothea faints. She's so happy.
Oh, God. Is she alive? Because that was part of our whole thing.
Yeah. You pull it. You quickly pull a mirror up and hold it up to Dorothea's nose. And there's fog, you know, on it. And then you hold it
no,
up to the pigeon's nose.
Yeah.
And the pigeon is also breathing. And we cut to a week later. There has been a newly arranged encore reading of Monster Girth. And Susan, if you're willing, I'd love to hear an excerpt from this new chapter that you added in.
Absolutely. Give me just a second here. Let me see if there's anything
I can. While you're doing that, I want to say Adam brought more eggs. This time, they're deviled still. I don't know why I said that.
Whoa.
This time, they're deviled still. Some of them are, some of the old ones are mixed in with the new ones.
Oh, what?
I was reading a book while I was cooking. I love this stuff.
Books or?
Both.
Not even a cookbook?
Yeah.
No, I was reading a Daniel Steele.
Okay, I want to say, well, Crashly's been really enjoying like going to random fields with CEJ and just kind of like sitting and looking at at beehives, and he cries when we do it, but it seems like it's still a good date.
I knew those bees.
Yeah, and CEJ, what's your experience been?
I gotta learn how to dance.
Yeah, you have to. You've learned truly. You have to dance like no one's watching.
Except Tyler, could I ask, can I resolve my insecurity? Because I think reading gave me the power to be myself.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, can I resolve my insecurity too?
Yeah, I think so. I think you both can resolve as many conditions as you want. Adam, yeah. I think you're definitely not angry anymore.
I'm definitely not angry. I'm so calm. I realize, much like James Stockdale, I can use, one second, I read it in here, the Stoic philosophy to calm myself in hard times.
I'm never going to forget what that old bird did for me.
That's right. And yeah, you're all huddled in the front row. You're all anxiously awaiting Susan's newest reading.
I can't wait. I'm anxiously waiting.
Pass the potpourri.
Oh, sure.
What are you? Whispered Dodo in wonder. Tonight, he responded, I'm yours. And placed his mouth on hers. Dodo's nipples tightened.
Tightened.
She didn't know if it was from words or that kiss. It might have been both. And the pigeon under her wig laid the first fertilized egg.
Whoa.
It had laid in 3 years.
It's all quiet and everybody looks over to Dorothea to see to gauge what the reaction is in this silence.
She's crying. She's like weeping from joy and just staring off. And then she dies peacefully.
Right there?
Oh, no!
Oh, does the pigeon fly
still
off?
Alive. Oh, yeah, the okay. pigeon. The pigeon flies off like nothing happened.
So she's just crying blissful tears, and then there's like a she kind of lets out like a peaceful sigh, and settles, and then there's like a ruffling, and then the wig. Poofs off her head, and the pigeon just flies up into the air and does a circle around the room and then flies off. And does the pigeon do anything as it leaves?
It poops. Yeah. Oh,
nice.
Legit.
Who does it poop on?
Let's go with CEJ.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Welcome to the podcast officially, Aaron.
As the poop dribbles down one side of my face, a single tear goes down the other side to match.
And that is where we will end our episode for today.
Yay!
Thank you for it. That was probably the most madcap episode that we've ever done. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us, Aaron. Yes. That was incredible.
Did I break it? Did
no.
I break
it? No.
Oh my gosh.
This is not far from par for the course.
Yeah.
This is so good.
You made it magical.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So also, good. You unknowingly continued our sitcom D&D guests tradition of playing human animals.
Yes, true.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's true. That? Speaking of sitcom D&D, Aaron, do you have any podcasts or any other projects that you'd like to plug?
Yeah. Well, check out sitcom D&D. It's wherever you find podcasts. We are coming to the end of our third season right now. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of Chicago comedy people on that too. And then I'm also on a podcast called Hey Riddle Riddle, where you can find that anywhere you find podcasts as well. And I think that's it.
Hey.
Check them out. Aaron is a delight to listen to. Mm-hmm. In
absolutely.
All forms. Yeah, Aaron, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so nervous and I ended up dying
you
laughing.
Crushed.
You
crushed.
You were
great.
What a
dream. So great.
I loved it. And I love that the pigeon is still out there and can come back.
Yes, I can't wait. Yeah.
And I love that a fully pilotable dead lady is still out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or talk to us on social media at Mystery County. You can also join our Patreon for bonus episodes, special deliveries, and tons of other random and delightful content that we produce for, and sometimes with, you. Find the link in the episode description. Now, Dorothea Dewey has a yearbook message for our patron, Geneva L.
Dear Geneva, I found your yearbook in a trash can, and it made me so sad. Geneva L., why would you do that? You don't want to hold on to these memories? It's a book, for God's sakes. You can't throw away a book. Anyways, I hope we can hang out this summer. I love you a lot, and I miss you. Love, Dorothea from the library.
Until next time, check out this One Shot Network podcast.
An all-ages-friendly actual play podcast set in the world of Spear, Spy Jack's Courier's Call follows three teens as they set out as new apprentices aboard an airship with the Swiftwell Courier Service, bringing mail and adventure across the world. Featuring Drew Majerski, Palomi Pratap, Aaron Catano-Saez, and Ali Grauer, and using the Cortex Prime system, this show is perfect for anyone just getting started in listening to actual plays or veterans of the tabletop genre alike. Join clever but anxious Kieran, bold fast-talking Cece, and loyal strong June aboard the Red Audrin ship as they sort and deliver mail, encounter powerful magic, and learn the proper skills of an airliner along the way. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
You can find all that and more at oneshotpodcast.com.
Dude, you have no idea how frantically I was Wikipediaing James Stockdale. I'm like, what's the song?
Your keyboard burst into flame because you're Googling so fast.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.